Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
I've got the islands that let you eat chocolate.
And I've got some chariot riots.
Chariots.
Chariot, yes. Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Date fight! Hello and welcome to Date Fight.
Hello!
Trudging bravely on through January. It's up to the 11th now.
Yes.
And this is the podcast where we take great moments from history and pitch them against each other.
He's Jake Yap, I'm Nat Tapley, and together we'll be taking two ancient oaks from the forest of history and felling them for your entertainment.
That's horrific.
Yep, that's what we do though. That's it. We're destroying the mental environment for your pleasure.
My brain is thoroughly deforested. My brain's like the Amazon right now. I don't need this.
Round one, I'm going to take us back to the 11th of January, 532, with the Nicker riots.
The what now?
Nicker. Oh. The Nicker riots.
Oh, here we go.
Have you heard of the Nicker riots?
No, because you've made it up. It's obvious.
I'm not making it up. In Nicker, there was a chariot race, and there were teams supporting the chariot races. There was a green team and a blue team, and after the race, there was such a riot that half of Constantinople was burned to the ground, tens of thousands of people were killed, and the Emperor Justinian was almost overthrown.
Wow.
Riots were quite common after chariot races, apparently. There were four teams, blues, greens, whites and reds, and everyone in the city would have their favourite team. But not only did it mean that you supported that team when you were in the Hippodrome, it also meant that you tended to hang out with people from that team. They sort of represented various social classes, and they had them instead of sort of street gangs and political parties. Essentially, they had groups of chariot hooligans, and you had to pick one if you lived in Constantinople. Justinian, the emperor, wasn't very popular because he'd imposed some high taxes to pay for his war with Persia. Also, he wasn't noble, so the nobles didn't like him very much. And so the blues and the greens had a huge riot after one of the chariot races, and lots of them were arrested for murder because lots of people died during the riot. Two of the blues and greens escaped from jail and went and hid, took sanctuary in a temple, at which point the temple was surrounded by other blues and other greens having more of a riot. So to quell the riot, Justinian said, "Let's have a chariot race. That'll solve everything."
The perfect logic of it.
At which point, after race 22 of the chariot races, and that seems quite extensive. I mean, I think you could have calmed them down with one or two. They did 22 chariot races, by which point everyone in the Hippodrome was chanting, "Victory! Victory!" And they stormed Justinian's palace and stood outside for days, setting fire to half of Constantinople and killing tens of thousands of people.
Wow.
Oh, Justinian thought about running away, but his wife wouldn't let him. She said, "Never will I see the day when I am not saluted as an empress." She'd rather be dead than not be empress.
Crikey.
So he sent out someone who I think must be called Narses. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's N-A-R-S-E. Anyway, Narses, who was a eunuch, he sent him out to see the Greens and the Blues, who still had control of the Hippodrome and most of the city.
Everybody loves a eunuch.
Yeah, everyone loves a eunuch. Especially if, like Narses, they're a eunuch with a bag of gold.
Uh-huh. So
Narses, the eunuch with the bag of gold, went to see the head of the blue team, or the blue supporters, and he said, "You know what, I mean, secretly, Justinian is on your... He is a blue. He doesn't like the Greens. Also, here's a big bag of money, so why don't you lot go home?" And the blues clustered together, and they thought about it for a while. They went, "Yes, all right, we'll go home." And off they went. They went home, and then it was only the Greens left in the Hippodrome, at which point all of the Imperial troops came in and slaughtered everyone who was left, killing 30,000 people in one day.
Good gravy!
And that was the Nicker Riots.
Wow.
Which I think were important because they show even back then, politicians were prepared to pretend they supported some sort of sports team just to gain popularity.
And also the utter pointlessness of sport.
Yes, absolutely. Watching someone you don't know do something you can't do in a place you've never been is not anything to attach your sense of self-esteem to, I don't think.
Yeah, especially when you've arbitrarily chosen who that is. I mean, if you're saying it's not even a geographical location that you can identify with, it's a completely arbitrary colour.
I predict that it's like when David Cameron kept forgetting who he said he supported as a football team, because clearly he doesn't have a football team. And kept saying, I support West Ham non Villa Spurs.
United. Very good. I've got the 11th of January, 1922.
Ooh.
Now, have you ever heard of the Islets of Langerhans?
The Islet? No, I haven't. What are they, please?
Well, I'm pleased to tell you that you own them.
Do I?
Yes.
Hooray!
Why not set sail, except for the fact that they exist inside your pancreas.
Oh. That's not...
The Islets of Langerhans, yes, which sort of suggests a fun kind of Richard Branson-y retreat.
Yeah, precisely, I was about to say. Zoe, let's get packed up. Come on, we're off to the Islets of Langerhan.
Yeah. Well, a guy called Edouard Laguesse in 1869, what? He Laguessed that maybe these little nubbles of cells produced secretions that might play a regulatory role in digestion.
Oh, I love a secretion.
Oh, I love an islet. Now, the Latin word for an islet or an island is...
can't remember.
Insula.
Insula, yes, of course.
Can you see where we might be going with this?
Oh, yes, they make your insulin.
That's right. And on this day in 1922, it was the first use of insulin to treat diabetes in a human patient. They started on dogs.
Of course.
Why not?
Big problem, of course, diabetic dogs.
Because what could be more fun than collecting dog urine, which was what they had to do. They found sugar inside it.
You've been watching me when we're not together.
Yeah, the glamorous world of medicine. Hold the cup! Hold it! Anyway, it was a Canadian called Frederick Banting, and he had to get funding from the University of Toronto. So in 1921, he went to Toronto, and he said to J.R. McLeod, the professor of physiology, he said, can I do some research here about, you know, this thing, this secretion from the pancreas? And... the guy said, I don't know, okay, maybe I'll give you some laboratory space. So he got some space and he allowed Banting to have two undergraduate assistants for the summer. The thing was, Banting only needed one lab assistant. So there were these two lab assistants, right? Charles Best and Clark Noble. They're just undergrads thinking, what will I do for the summer?
Yeah.
To decide who was going to be the assistant for the summer, they tossed a coin.
Yeah.
Charles Best won the coin toss, and he took the first shift. And this was very unfortunate for Noble.
Oh.
Because Banting won the Nobel Prize.
Oh.
And he shared half of his money and credit for the discovery with the assistant, Charles Best.
No, what happened
so
to
Clark
the other one?
Clark Noble missed the Nobel. Nothing at all. He doesn't even have a hyperlink on Wikipedia.
Oh, man. Although,
imagine
to be fair, neither do I. So it's
do you not?
It's all right. No.
I'm sure there'll be a listener right now who's going to be like, I'm going to do that.
No. Nope.
I do stuff on Wikipedia.
10 years that would be nice. In broadcast media, nothing. Anyway.
Oh. If anyone does do Wikipedia stuff and is listening, go on.
And also, that guy who should have won it for insulin, you could probably add him as well.
And then we can feature you on Date Fight.
That's true.
Not that we source everything from Wikipedia. We might.
I did actually do my own birthday last year anyway, so it's not...
Yeah. So, I mean, this is pretty horrific. On the 30th of July, 1921, Banting and Best successfully isolated an extract, an eyelton, from the islets of a, quote, duck-tied dog.
Ooh.
Now, that's a party.
Yeah.
And injected it into a diabetic dog, finding that the extract reduced its blood sugar by 40% in 1 hour.
What?
Fast forward then, another 6 months, and January the 11th, 1922, a 14-year-old diabetic called Leonard Thompson is lying, dying in Toronto General Hospital, and he's given the first ever injection of insulin. Guess what?
He survived.
It was so impure that Thompson suffered a severe allergic reaction.
But his pancreas survived.
Yeah, his pancreas was fine and stayed with the family and provided tremendous comfort. No, over the next 12 days, though, they tried to refine the insulin. They worked day and night to do it. And they re-injected him on January the 23rd. And it worked, and he survived, and he died 13 years later of pneumonia at the age of 26. But prior to that, being told you got type 1 diabetes meant that you would be lucky to live for a few months. So, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
So
thank you.
Right.
I think we should just,
well,
as a species, yes, we should pause and say a quick thank you to all the duck-tied dogs. Nowadays, it's pigs. We got our insulin from the piggies.
Oh, lovely. Well, thanks, pigs.
Cheers, pigs.
Happy birthday to subterranean troublemaker Arthur Scargill. And happy birthday to Mary J. Blige, whose Be Without You was named the most successful R&B song of all time by Billboard. She also is one of the only people to have both a nomination for acting and songwriting in the Golden Globes. Happy birthday to Matteo Renzi, who was Italian Prime Minister from 2014 to 2016. Became Prime Minister at the age of 39, the youngest ever Italian Prime Minister. And in 2014, Fortune magazine named the most influential person under 40. Again, like Wikipedia, overlooking me. Happy death day to Pietro Bembo. He was a cardinal who codified the Italian language. He invented the madrigal.
What?
Which is pretty good. He invented the madrigal. We actually know who invented the madrigal, and it was him, Pietro Bembo. And the typeface Bembo is named after him. Happy death day to Louis-François Roubilliac, the most accomplished sculptor to ever work in England, despite being French. He's better than all English sculptors ever, apparently.
I love that. That's empiric evidence. This is the best artist.
Apparently, he was named the most accomplished Rococo sculptor. I mean, he doesn't do modern sculpture. He's been dead for too long.
Oh, here we go.
Also, happy death day to Tom Parry Jones, who invented the breathalyzer. Hold on to your lungs. Tom Parry Jones is in town. That's the death days.
Lock up your ovula. Yeah.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
I'm going to take you back now to January the 11th, 1569.
Are you? So am I.
Oh, here
that's
we go.
A good one.
Yes.
What are you going to talk about then?
It could be thou.
Yes, it couldst be thou.
Yeah, yeah. So this was the first ever recorded lottery in England, and it was absolutely crackers because everyone was a winner.
Everyone was a winner. Every ticket won a prize, and all of the money collected was spent on prizes.
Yeah.
It was essentially an interest-free loan to the government for 3 years.
Yeah.
But yes, everyone got a prize.
Which is crazy and kind of brilliant. I guess it was kind of like premium bonds.
Yes. It was pretty much like premium bonds on a shorter scale. It lasted for 3 years, though. It started in 1566. The draw happened on 1569. I do hope they had Dale Winton to do the draw in 1569.
Good luck, everyone. Today's machine is Scrofula.
And the tickets were so expensive that most people couldn't afford a whole ticket. And so there were brokers who would split them up into parts of a ticket. So you'd get shares in a ticket. And those brokers who gave you shares in a ticket were the people who later became stockbrokers once the lottery wasn't around anymore.
Amazing. So, because the prizes were things like a plate.
Yes, it's a silver plate.
Like a silver plate. So you go, congratulations, you've won a 16th of a plate.
Yeah.
And presumably the brokers would then have to sell the plate for you.
Yes, I think they did.
And probably take some commission off
that.
Just the beginning of all the racketeering banking business in the world.
Unless they were just cutting the plates up into 16 parts and shaving little bits off, no doubt.
Plate shavings.
What do you do for a living? Plate shaver? And we have lotteries to thank for the existence of America, because the Virginia Company in 1612, when Virginia was failing as a colony, had a lottery in order to fund continued settlement in America.
And people weren't huge fans of these lotteries, were they?
No. No, people. Some people didn't like the lotteries. Well, the French certainly didn't. The French had tried one in 1530, or 1530-something, but because the only people who were rich enough to buy tickets just disagreed with the idea of it, it failed terribly, to such an extent that lotteries were banned for the next 200 years.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
It was described by one critic, this is the Virginia Company's lotteries, as the last struggle of the speculators on public credulity for popularity to their last dying lottery.
I mean, that
sort of sounds
optimistic.
Like an old school version of Bitcoin to me.
I mean, it's very optimistic that that was the last gasp of speculators on public credulity.
Yeah.
Public credulity seems to be an inexhaustible resource.
The well has never run dry.
Well, this is my business plan. What's it based on? Public credulity. Brilliant. Here's the money. There you go.
You must be a member of the public.
It's dependent on the public being venal and short-sighted. Excellent! Have more! Shall we tell people about our exciting new system for the what we're going to do now?
Yes.
We are going to. Every week, starting on Saturday, finishing on Saturday.
Starting on Sunday, finishing on Saturday.
We're going to put up polls on Twitter and Facebook for you to vote for who you think should win. And at the end of the week, we'll top them up and we'll see who the winner is on Sunday, and there will be forfeits and all of that sort of thing. And we'll do that on the Sunday. How does that sound?
It sounds good to me, because this is backed by popular demand,
at least
one person.
Two people on Twitter
two?
Wanted us to bring back the scoring.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it?
It does. So we won't have any more funny little stories now. It'll be just back to, you know, bared teeth and knives drawn, stabbing at each other with historical fact.
Yeah. Heaven forfend that you and I should just enjoy each other's company and stories.
No way.
Good. Well, I look forward to it, because it's a new year and it's a new start, and I'm looking forward to giving you one heck of a drubbing.
Yes. I'm claiming 2019 is, I think I won the whole year.
Oh, you did. That's very depressing. Fine.
Yes.
Well, the humiliation continues.
It could all change tomorrow.
It could do, but it's
although,
not going
to. Although, I don't trust the public vote, because you're going to make them all feel sorry for you. You're going to go, oh, Jake never wins. I'm going to vote for Jake's ones. Just no. The public are an all.
I need to.
Could we not have it moderated by experts as well?
I think we've all had enough experts.
Okay, fair enough.
Just need to check. Oh, wow. So you've got 11.7 thousand followers, and I've got 13 thousand followers. So there's not that much in it.
Oh, man. I imagine some of them are the same people as well.
Oh, yeah. It's basically my mum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, we start then a new date fight, as in a proper fight, tomorrow. Do join us then.
Tomorrow.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.